Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about job power today, which involves a great deal of mind power, but there's also more to it. In our changing world, there are so many aspects of challenges, whether you are a young person or you're someone maybe that's restarting a career, and you might be in your 50s, your 60s, or perhaps even your 70s. This is an unprecedented level that we are experiencing today with a working environment that's undergoing so much change. How in the world do you handle it? Women especially have had glass ceilings they've had to break through, and it's been tough. Sometimes you try to use your own particular mallet, if you will, to break through that glass ceiling, and you get frustrated because you feel like it's made of bulletproof glass. Well, my guest today, Blanca De La Rosa, has put together a book called Empower Yourself for an Amazing Career. Now, Blanca has had some experiences which we're going to be talking about that if you can listen to it, you may find yourself saying, boy, can I relate to this. Blanca De La Rosa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning. I really, really was so impressed with your material because not only have you written from experience, but you are a woman that has come from an ethnic background, the Dominican Republic. You are the daughter of immigrants. You grew up in the Upper West Side of Manhattan in New York. And at the time you were growing up, the Latino community was, well, it wasn't very strong, and it wasn't very supportive of women being professional. And I've known a number of women that have gone through those challenges. And you were able not only to graduate with a bachelor's degree in international business management, but at the time, you started on a career path that has evolved over 30 years. And now, one of your strongest areas of interest is teaching the younger generation that they don't have to be stuck with a bulletproof glass ceiling, that they really can make it in the business world. Blanca, when did you find out that this is really what you wanted to do? I mean, this is, for anyone, tough. Men can have a very difficult time, but women especially, even today, they're really challenged.
Yes, Donna, yeah, you're absolutely correct. There is a challenge. Unfortunately, we are still talking about this in the 20th century. But for me, it was just the years of working in a male-dominated industry. The energy industry is male-dominated. So women have to work extra hard. I mean, you have to work twice as hard as everyone else in order to prove yourself, to prove what you bring to the company and that you can add value. And unfortunately, you know, women are not as supportive as I believe they should be with other women. So for me, having experience and witnessing that, it was very crucial. I mean, it was a learning experience for me as I saw women above me who I thought should have been role models were really not there to support me. I thought, well, you know, there has to be another way. And I thought that taking my experience, what I've learned, and teaching the younger women in the corporate environment how to compete and how to compete in a way that whether they win, lose, or draw, you know, they can support each other and continue to fill that pipeline of other women so that the next time there is a possibility for a promotion or an opening, that it may just be that other woman that you have mentored.
I really think what you have said in just that little bit of time is so significant because I remember when I worked for a police department, the women that were around me, and at the time I worked for the police department, women were really having a tough time, because they were seen as inferior. They couldn't possibly do this, that, or the other. It was a mentality that in many ways still pervades the environment, not to the degree that it was. And I can remember being in that environment, and the women, I'll just describe them as vicious cats.
Yeah.
Every single woman that had been hired was extremely bright. And so I felt honored that I had been brought into this environment. And then I felt like I had a bunch of razors that were poised. And not only were they verbal razors, but there were so many actions on their part. And these were older women. And I realized many years later that these women were terrified. They thought that this was a competitive environment. And it wasn't, really, when you got down to it. The supportive aspect was needed. And there were one or two in the group that I was within. But it is amazing how women undermine women. And I am so supportive of what you say. Women have to change from the positioning of being afraid that another woman is going to take away their power. And they have to be unafraid of this. Because this has been a myth that's been perpetuated by I don't know how many centuries. And it's fueled by fear, and it doesn't need to be. And boy, when I went through your book and I read what you had gone through and how hard you had had to work, and some of your biggest adversaries were other women, I thought, thank heavens, someone's coming out and talking about this. Women have to grow up and realize they don't need to do this anymore. And I love your statement about a career is, you know, it's a journey. You're going to constantly be expanding yourself. When you started out, one of the most important lessons that you learned is that you show up. That was really something you had to do and go the extra mile.
Yes, and it's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but, you know, it is a reality of some of the industries that the women have to compete in, and you have to work just as hard or harder than those around you in order to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but that's a reality.
You also bring out something that I think is exceptionally important, and I'm quoting from your book. If there is even a hint of impropriety in a proposed action on your part, stop and rethink your position before proceeding. Wow, that is a big one. That should be across the board for everybody.
Absolutely. But I mean, we all have to live our lives, you know, with some integrity, whether it's your personal life, your work life, creating and sustaining an ethical environment is a long and continuous journey, both personal and in your business life or, you know, whatever your industry happens to be. So I truly believe that you have to conduct yourself in a proper manner, in an ethical manner, so that you can be trusted, so that people can trust you. And people know that when they turn to you, they say, well, you know what, I know I can trust Dana because the integrity is there. And you will be trusted, and that goes a long way. It goes a long way for your integrity, your career, and just as a person.
Oh, it's absolutely invaluable. Look at the mess we've got around us in businesses, in politics, and people aren't being held accountable, and the average person says, they're all a bunch of crooks. But they accept their behavior, and this is not what we should be doing. I don't care where you are in the world. It should not be done. Now, I want to point out some things that were very, very much emphasized by you right on from the beginning. You talk about how, being from the Latino community, you were not exposed to the environment of the right way to dress. You were not exposed to how important your personal appearance was. Now, I'm not saying that you were sloppy or anything like that. I'm not inferring that. What I am saying here is that you learned that you had to find out what was appropriate, and you had gotten involved with a co-op secretarial program in downtown Manhattan Do they still have this for young
women and men? They probably do not, because, you know, with technology, it's probably one of the things that has disappeared. But you're absolutely right. I mean, growing up, I grew up in a very humble environment and, in the projects of New York City. My attire growing up was jeans and sneakers. I didn't even own a skirt. And fortunately, I went into this co-op program, and one of the things that they had was, you know, this little bit of personal appearance and a little bit about how, you know, to conduct yourself in an office environment. And unfortunately, you know, the high school we went to, it was pretty much a just minorities. And no one really focused on explaining to us that there's this whole other world out there. There's a professional world. And you know, oh, by the way, you need to conduct yourself in a certain way. You need to dress in a certain way. No one took the time to do that. And that's something that I learned the hard way, by trial and error, unfortunately. But it worked. It worked. I mean, I was able to really pick up on the cues of the people around me, because I think that one of the things I say in my book is that, you know, if you are new to your environment and you are unsure of how to dress, look at the successful people around you. You know, how are they dressed? And take that as a cue.
Right. And this isn't imitating Lady Gaga either.
Of course I know.
Because I know if young people say, well, you say that, by golly, I just see all of these models, and I'm looking at the rag sheets at the market, and I go, excuse me, no, this is not what you do. This is not appropriate.
No.
So I really like the idea. And there used to be schools. There used to be opportunities. In fact, I've recommended to a number of my clients that have young men and women in their family, say, have them go and take this course. Go through it. You need to read the material. You need to know about etiquette. You need to know about different things. But you did something else that I thought was extremely, extremely unique. You were working for a law firm, and you realized that you needed to go on to school. And you negotiated an agreement with the partners at the law firm where they would advance you money for tuition at the beginning of the semester, and you'd repay the loan by working overtime. That is marvelous. Because any good employer wants their employees to go on with education. And they're going to be winning on this no matter how they set it up. That was really smart.
Well, you know, Donna, and that's exactly one of the things that I talk about in my book. It's, you know, look around you for opportunities. You know, look for a deficiency. Look for a gap that you can fill, because by agreeing to be the overtime stand-in, I was filling a need that this company needed, and in return, they were helping me to meet my educational goals, and it was a win-win situation.
Right. Now, you have some very good comments here, which, by the way, guys, that those of you that are listening, this is very good for you, but I think especially for women, this is something that it's going to empower you. That's why the title, Empower Yourself for an Amazing Career, is extremely important, because no matter what your age is, you're going to benefit from this information. And you talk about bad management here. You've been in situations with bad management. I've been in situations with bad management. When you have this environment, the first thing you want to do is just run away from it. What are some of the tips that you'd like to share with people so that they understand that they may need to be in a job? Look at today's world. A lot of people are out of work. How do we, if we're in an environment we don't particularly like, how can we manage the environment?
Absolutely, Donna, and that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I would say is that you must first accept the fact that your boss is in charge and he's managing your career. So it's going to make the situation a little difficult and a lot harder to manage, but it's a fact of your work life that you're going to have to report to someone. So if your intention is to stay and grow with that company, then you need to figure out a way to get along with your boss and work around his less than supportive behavior. So instead of lashing out or in most cases, you know, it's not going to work for you, or lodging a complaint, you know, try to resolve the problem on your own. And some of the suggested strategies that I have developed is network. You need to build relationships with other senior employees or managers you know, so they can get to know you and your abilities. It's broadening your network will thwart, you know, some of that negative feedback that your boss may be saying about you. You know, enhance your credibility so by keeping up with your work ethics and meeting your commitments. Try not to overpromise and underdeliver by taking on more responsibility than you can realistically handle. So, because really, at the end of the day, your boss is going to use that against you. So try to deliver on your commitments. Try to fully understand your objectives, your work expectations. You know, what is your manager expecting from you? And to the extent possible, you know, try to minimize personal contact. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can communicate via email, voicemail. You know, there are other ways to communicate that doesn't have to be face-to-face in order to minimize that antagonism. And I like to say kill him with kindness, you know, when he's most likely expecting to get a rise out of you. You can disarm him with, you know, unexpected polite behavior. And hopefully, you know, the person will stop and think about what he has just said or done. You know, sometimes people say or do things just for effect, I mean, just to get a certain rise out of you. And I like to call this a manipulation of your psyche. So try not to fall into that.
I agree.
Sometimes, you know, you have to try to give your boss the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, what have I contributed to this situation? You know, did I do anything to cause this? And really, you know, some self-reflection. And, you know, step back and see what you can do to manage the situation. So, in other words, try to assess it from all angles, you know, including what you may have contributed.
Now,
And then at the end of the day, you know, once you've looked at everything, you know, try to sit down and have a discussion with your boss, you know, bringing notes with you and fully documenting exactly what you think some of the issues are. And I think that, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, your boss may have renewed respect for you just for having, you know, the courage to come and talk about this. Because sometimes a lot of employees sit back as victims instead of empowering themselves to take control of the situation. So a lot of times it's just that it could be a perception. A lot of times it's just you need to empower yourself to stand up for yourself and say, you know, what is the issue here? And once you have identified that issue, address it with your boss. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to agree to disagree, but that's okay too. But at least you're not a victim just sitting on the sidelines waiting to be abused.
Right. Blanca, another comment that you make, which I think is very important, is a formal education is an individual's ticket in the door. However, you have to be aware of something else. You could have a PhD and have a devil of a time trying to get hired because you don't have any practical experience. So one of the things I know that I've always encouraged people to do is to try to look while they're going to school for environments that they can apprentice in so they get some kind of a track record. And boy, has that made a difference, and it's given a credibility. And it's just wonderful, and you've got a wonderful write-up on that, committing to continuous learning. That is absolutely true. And you have a very good section on never take the quality of a written document for granted because it takes on a life of its own after you send it. How many times are we hearing about people sending stuff through email, people of all ages, and they're not thinking before they send it? They think it is private. It is not. Facebook, LinkedIn, all kinds of connect, Twitter, all kinds of stuff. And boy, in the world of business, you have to think. In the private world, you need to think. Because there's really no privacy. And it can be used against you.
Absolutely, Don. I mean, I think that is one of the most important things that we all have to learn. And as you said, I mean, how many careers have we seen in the public eye just be ruined for something that someone wrote or committed to email or a text message? So you are absolutely correct. I think it is very, very important that we stop and think before we send the message.
I really think so. You also recommend that someone find a mentor. If you are wanting to become really good in a certain industry, if you really want to move ahead, it can be reading books, maybe the person's writing helps to mentor you, but if you really can have a one-on-one with someone, and I know most my husband and myself have been very much involved in that process, working with other people for many years, and it really makes a difference. There's a trust there, there's a confidence, and it really enables you to help empower an individual that otherwise might not even have a chance to grow. And it's very satisfying. So when someone is looking for a mentor, they need to recognize that that's an investment for themselves. And you have a very, very good segment on that. But I also like, too, what you say, establish yourself as a leader. Blanca, when did you recognize that you were a leader? So many people don't even want to even consider that. They look at themselves as a peon. Gee whiz, I'm nobody special. I can't be a leader. Whoa. Shit.
Well, Donna, you know, that's actually an interesting question because I think that we first have to project confidence. If we don't have confidence in ourselves, then it is very easy to project that lack of confidence to others. So others won't see you as a leader. But actually, being a leader has nothing to do with your title. You don't have to have a management position in order to do so, because it's not defined by your job title and it's not limited to your boss or your senior management. And you don't have to be you don't have to wait to be assigned a supervisory position in order to develop your leadership skills, because the leadership skills are actually developed over time with practice and experience. And for me, when I learned to project confidence, when I learned to think myself equal to those around me, then I felt that, okay, well, I have something to contribute. And when I felt that I had something to contribute, then I started looking around and seeing, well, how can I exhibit leadership? Exhibiting leadership can just be as simple as mentoring a person, as simple as working in a work group, leading a team. So, I mean, you have to look around you and see, well, where are the leadership opportunities for me and how can I develop some of these leadership skills? And I think it's actually very important for anyone that's interested in moving up in their career. It's interesting that, it's very important that they find a way to start developing, refining, and defining those leadership skills.
One of the things you say a woman needs to learn to do is how to manage controversy and competition in a more professional manner. There is, again, this cattiness that can be there. And I really get very, very irritated with a lot of presumptions that are made by many males in the working environment. And that is something women have to get past. And you had an experience at a conference where you were getting sexually harassed, and you faced it head on in a meeting. And this was down in South America, I believe.
Yes. That for me was a new experience, because in the corporate environment and even when I worked at the law firm, that's not something that I had experienced. Actually, everybody was very professional. But in Latin America, where the environment tends to be male-dominated, and more so in the energy industry, I mean, I never faced a woman to negotiate with. I mean, across the table from me were always men. Around the conference room table were always men. And in Latin America, because I was Latina, they assumed I knew and understood a woman's place. And the sexual innuendos and the insults were rampant, and I quite honestly did not know how to handle it initially. And then I thought, well, I need to do something about this, because I need to continue doing with this business with these people. And I could tell they were not comfortable with a woman, especially a Latina, handling the business of a major corporation like the one I worked for. So I handled it head on. I just said, let's get this sexual harassment and sexual innuendos out of the way so that we can be productive. And because I knew for a fact that if I was not Latina, they would not have behaved that way, because they would be afraid that a woman of a different heritage would very quickly complain, and they would be in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took advantage of that.
So you really faced that head on, and then they went, oops, okay, we've got a woman of a different level here. We can't play the game anymore, boys. It's not going to work. Now, you had a very personal experience on September 11th, 2001, which was and it still is, a very profound experience in the American environment. Tell us about that.
Well, you know what, Donna, that I will never forget for as long as I live, because I was actually scheduled to fly to California on one of the American Airlines airplanes. And because my boss came into my office and talked to me about a potential opportunity to move on to a new job, I canceled my trip to California just a week before September 11th. And when I heard the newscast and, you know, everything that was being reported about what had happened on September 11, you know, I didn't make the connection. I didn't make the connection because of the timing, and, you know, I figured, well, it doesn't take that long to get from Dulles Airport to Washington on the airplane that hit the the Pentagon. But then when I realized that this was the flight I was supposed to be on, I stepped back and I started thinking about the circumstances that led to my canceling the trip. And I have to tell you that to this day, Donna, I cannot think of a single reason why this man, a senior manager, would come into my office and talk to me about a career opportunity, about moving to a different department, when it was actually the responsibility of my direct supervisor to do so. So I say that he was an earth angel. It was divine intervention that had him come into my office to talk to me about this potential move, just to keep me off that flight. Because after that, no one ever talked to me about moving anywhere. I never asked. I just saw this as divine intervention, and I was having these intuitive flashes for months, warning me about something to come on this flight every time I would get on this airplane, because I would go to California on a monthly basis. I would have this dread of getting on this airplane, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, because I was used to, I mean, I was doing 70% travel, so I was not averse to traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So this insight protected me and it encouraged me to stay away. So the insight that I had about getting on this plane and something to come, and although I would never have been able to predict those events that transpired on that day, I was able to identify my feeling and foreboding after the September 11th incident. And as you know, Donna, sometimes your intuition will deliver a message with words spoken through another person or situation, and you just have
That's
to be able
right.
to decipher the clues. And I am so glad I was able to decipher those clues.
Well, your story is an incredible one. You have so much wonderful information. It's compactly presented. It is a book, I would say, that anyone would read. They should have a pen. I use a highlighter. And make notes. The book should be used. And one of the comments you make, you say, define your personal mission and vision statement. You need to encompass your own passion. You need to find out what is your reason for being. You need to ask yourself some very important questions. And then develop a brand. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's okay for toothpaste, but why would I do it for me? Well, who you are, how you represent yourself, is your brand. Do you stand for integrity? Are you willing to educate yourself? How do you present yourself? Who are you? That's your brand. The quality of character and personality really does make a difference, and it's something you can cultivate. It's very, very important, and what is success for one person is not necessarily going to be what's considered success for someone else. I like what you say about setting short and long-term goals, and what do you need to do to improve things that you're going through? Your book, really, I think, is for anyone who is looking at changes in their life, whether you're young, you're in high school, you're getting ready to go to college, you're trying to start into a career momentum, or again, you're an older person that says, gee whiz, I cannot follow the same agenda, I mean, I know of a number of women that are going back to school in their 50s, in their 60s, and getting their degrees. And this is marvelous. I mean, this is unprecedented in educational history. So here we've got this modality of change. It's coming in, and women are starting to do more businesses than ever before. They're outdoing the men in entrepreneurship. So you have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I think Blanca de la Rosa's book, Empower Yourself for an Amazing Career, is something that covers many modalities. It's very, very good. Now, Blanca, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's actually www.blancadelarosa.net.
Blancadelarosa.net. That's BLANCADELAROSA.net. Blanca, your book is wonderful, and I think it should be part of college curriculum, actually. And I'm just so delighted you were able to take time out of your busy schedule. I know that you've got quite an intense one, and I so appreciate you taking time to be with me on the air today.
Thank you very much, Donna, for inviting me, and thank you so much to your listeners. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Blanca de la Rosa. Go to our website, blancadelarosa.net. The book is a powerful one. It's a book to have in your library to use and to share with anyone that you feel you will benefit from having clarity from a woman that has broken through a glass ceiling that she didn't know she could break through, and she did it. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. My telephone number is 888-627-6008 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, to sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. We're happy to answer a question for you. So again, give me a buzz if you like, 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I know that so many of you are busy preparing all of these delicious foods and going to be having the wonderful, wonderful fellowship with family and friends. And I wish you an absolutely marvelous day. And because of the holiday, I am going to be sharing my time with family and friends as well. And so we will be playing a best of Donna. And it is going to be what drug companies won't tell you and what doctors can't. So if you missed that interview, you'll be able to listen to the replay tomorrow. Now, on Friday, we're going to be talking with a gentleman who was born and raised in Afghanistan. The publication is Lost Decency. Atta Agahani Awal is a man that has a powerful, powerful story to share. You know, we don't often hear about the Afghan people. We don't really have that much knowledge, at least I haven't, about what their life was like before all of the ugliness began. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out about people, how they lived, how they loved, and what happened to turn their lives around. A true story and a real statement of what most Americans haven't a clue about. So we're going to be sharing that on Friday. And then, of course, the following week, we're going to be talking about lost civilizations. Do you need magnesium in your diet? We're going to be talking about the magnesium miracle. Also, we're going to be talking about the time of the otter and a suitcase filled with nails. Does that title sort of grab your mind a little bit? Well, let me tell you, the story is going to be even more incredible. Well, we've got a wonderful lineup of guests, and of course, for the month of December, we've got so many fabulous people that are going to be on, and that list will be coming up on BBS Radio. And you can always check on the show information listing as to who is coming up, what the basic thumbnail sketch is for the interview, what it's going to be. And it's always good to know that. And of course, you can check on my website as well, because we always have a listing of guests also. Well, with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, I thought I would share with you a little poem by Ashton Rogers. And there's this gorgeous photograph that's in front of me with this plump, golden brown turkey. It looks like it's something out of, you know, Paula Deen's kitchen. It's just absolutely gorgeous, or Better Homes and Garden. A magnificently prepared table and display of candles and fruit. Of course, Thanksgiving is about being grateful for what we have. And there's this lovely little poem that says, "The memories that touch our hearts, the kindness of strangers, the joy we feel when friends keep in touch, these make the season bright." Happy Thanksgiving. And I think that is so very, very true. I really think that where there is so much in this world that we can be grateful for. And whenever I walk into a grocery store, and this has been going on since the early 90s with me, because I had the chance to travel with a business group over to the former Soviet Union. And we went through four primary areas, which was Moscow, Kiev, Minsk, and St. Petersburg. And each one of those places in the former Soviet Union had their own persona and environment. And one of the things that we saw was what a lack of free trade does and what a particular kind of environment can do to the economy of a nation in a very quick order. And every time I go into a store, I remember getting off the plane in Finland and just practically wanting to kiss the ground because of what we had seen, the poverty level, the lack of medical care, all kinds of things that were going on at that time. And when I went into, it was a Kmart after I got home, I said, oh my goodness, how rich we really are, how very fortunate we are. And I was thinking about that yesterday when I was grocery shopping, of all the diversity of products. Because of the infrastructure we've got, we're able to get things into stores. And I have been in places in the country where, because they didn't have access to transportation, and that was here in the United States, it wasn't that all that long ago, you couldn't get supplies. If the planes couldn't fly in because of bad weather, or trucks couldn't get in, you weren't going to have supplies. And you think of the people on the East Coast that suffered the devastation of the storm that we went through, Sandy, and what hit afterwards. I mean, this shows you how quickly, without a proper infrastructure, you are going to have devastation occur on multiple levels, not just with transportation, but also with fuel, with having shelter, with so many different levels of life. So as you go into your grocery stores, as you're working around your home, stop and think about what it is that you have access to do that so many people in this world, billions of them, will not even have an opportunity to experience. And you have that opportunity. So being grateful is a very big thing. I have in front of me a wonderful article about how Thanksgiving is celebrated in zoos And I was totally unaware of this. I knew that squirrels love to eat pumpkin. You know, people put pumpkins out on their porches in the fall season, and this starts before Halloween, and it's just so colorful. The color orange just brightens everything up. Well, I had no idea that at zoos that animals are given special turkey day meals. That's right, and they give them pumpkins to play with. And those people that go to visit zoos on Thanksgiving Day, yes, they are open for visitors, especially the Denver Zoo, the San Francisco Zoo, the Zoo in Maryland, Cleveland's Metro Park Zoo, Miami's Zoo, Chicago's Brookfield Children's Zoo. They have really developed a very special pattern with the animals. And in front of me is a tiger playing with a pumpkin. I would never have thought a tiger would have played with a pumpkin, but it's like a heavy, heavy ball. And they just absolutely enjoy it tremendously. And the lemurs love the pumpkins. Elephants like to crunch on them, like to eat them. And at Utah's Hogle Zoo, elephants are given super-sized pumpkins. They weigh hundreds of pounds, hundreds of pounds on Thanksgiving morning. And the elephants will smash them, roll them, chomp them, drop them. I mean, they really enjoy them. So this is something that people will come from all over just to see. And the Oregon Zoo, they have a turkey trot race on Thanksgiving Day morning. Everyone in the family can participate, whether they're runners, walkers, or what they say, toddlers can all participate in it. And they've absolutely, in Oakland Zoo, they've got a zoo camp for kids. This is actually for the Thanksgiving weekend. Wow, special break for parents here. And they will get training on how to be a zookeeper. What fun. What absolutely wonderful, wonderful fun for kids. And so check out your local zoo. You may find that there's things going on. And if you've got a bunch of kids coming over and you say, gee, what could we do that would be different? Take them to the local zoo. Find out what's happening. It's a very inexpensive way to have entertainment. And, you know, if you're busy cooking and something needs to be done with a big batch of the kids, instead of plopping down in front of the TV, take them off to the zoo. Let them watch the animals having so much fun and enjoying life. And they just are bundled up, and they're going to have a good time, too. And then they're going to have a wonderful appetite for all of the good food that's going to be waiting for them when they come back. Heck, if you can, arrange everything so you can go along with them. Have fun with them. Just don't keep yourself in the kitchen. It's just a wonderful way to spend a holiday. And I know Black Friday is coming up, and so many of you are really going to be out there. But by golly, remember, this is a holiday weekend for so many people. Remember the zoos. They're a great place to go. Musical instruments. Can they save your life? Believe it or not, they can. And there's just so much about music. It's so dynamic, and it just affects us very, very deeply. And I know that all of you have had experiences with music. I find I have no tolerance for hard rock. It gives me a headache. And there are certain songs and certain tones that can soothe the body, make you well. We've had guests on this show that use music for healing. And we're, in fact, going to have next month, he's going to be on in February, Jonathan Goldman. He's been a guest on my show many times. He's been so deeply involved with the research of music and wellness, it's quite incredible, really quite incredible. So how can musical instruments help you and help you save your life? Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will share that with you. And if you'd like for me to share my mental skills with you, call me at 888-627-6008. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, how can musical instruments help you? Well, I was surprised to learn that if someone has bronchitis, emphysema, allergies, you can improve your breathing capacity by blowing into a harmonica. How many of us ever hear a harmonica played? Years and years ago, there were just all kinds of performers with harmonicas, and that was a basic. Well, apparently, they are coming back into vogue. Now, how do we know about this? There is research that is done at the University of Michigan in their health system, and they said to do the playing of a harmonica, you must be able to take a deep breath, and you have to blow out against resistance, which helps to strengthen your respiratory muscles. Now, Milan Hahn, who is a pulmonologist, she says harmonica playing is bodybuilding for the lungs. They are doing such a good job. Those little elongated pieces of metal with a bunch of holes in it, doing such a job that they are now in many hospitals making you play a harmonica or at least use it as a pulmonary assistant. That's right. They're even using it with COPD. And by the way, you see all this stuff about COPD cannot be reversed, it can be. There's going to be a guest that's going to be coming up on that. You know, you can buy one for less than $5 on Amazon. Great thing. Didgeridoos. Oh, I've heard about the didgeridoos. You know, whenever anybody learns how to play a didgeridoo, you really have to know how to breathe because it is just going to be an amazing experience. You know they're using it. They're encouraging people to learn how to do or how to play a didgeridoo because if you have sleep apnea where you stop breathing, by golly, this wind instrument tones and strengthens the throat muscles and upper airways so effectively, they're finding the sleep apnea almost disappears. How do we know about this? The Swiss, that's right. They did a study with people who used the didgeridoo at least 5 times a week. They got less sleepy during the day, better sleep quality at night, and the snoring almost disappeared. Whoa. Think of how much money that would save you in medical bills. And drums. This is something that's become very, very popular. Drumming is something that lowers anxiety and stress. Why? Well, it promotes calming theta waves, the same brain waves that are associated with daydreaming and relaxation. It can promote a meditative state. It reorganizes electrical impulses in the nervous system to match the rhythm that is being played on the drum. They're using it with children that have autism to calm them down. And what they've done in various studies is evaluating how people respond to drumming as far as anxiety goes, improving eye contact, and actually developing better attention span. All of these are things that children that are autistic have. But there are adults that have that same problem that are not autistic. So drum medicine. That's what they're calling it, drum medicine. Fascinating stuff. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. If you'd like for me to light your life up with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. 888-627-6008. There is a very, very popular program that has been playing on television about the men who made America. And it focuses on primary individuals like J.P. Morgan, on Rockefeller, and Carnegie, who were considered three of the most powerful men in the United States in the, well, let's say the 19th and 20th century. One of those individuals, as I mentioned, was Carnegie. Now, Andrew Carnegie was considered by many, many people one of the richest and most ruthless of the quote-unquote robber barons. And this was a man that worked very hard, was involved with the steel industry. But you know what? Carnegie left a legacy that was not so much about the steel industry, but about giving back to life. And for those of you that perhaps have watched this television show, it's a series, and it's pretty well done. They state that when J.P. Morgan bought him out, he was richer than Bill Gates has been. I forget, in today's dollars, what the money would be. It was just an astronomical number in the billions. But Andrew Carnegie determined that he was going to die broke. He was going to give his money away. I don't know if you're aware of this, but 2,505 libraries bear his name, and they're just a minuscule part of his philanthropy. Now, can you imagine if you had that much money, you want to give it away? You want to make sure that it is put into proper places so that people will benefit, so that you're going to be a contributor to life? Well, one day, when he was quite a bit older, he went to his accountant, and he asked them, how much money have I given away so far? And you notice I say accountants, that was plural. He had to have a few, because his wealth was so vast. They knew where every dollar went, and they, at that moment, said to him, you've given away $324,657,399 exactly. Wow. What a sum. And after he heard the number, it sort of grabbed him, and he said, "Where, good heavens, where did I get all of that money?" Of course, it was from the sale of his industry to J.P. Morgan. This man was not a miser. He was not a miser at all. And I think he left a legacy that was continued by, you know, other people as well. And there's a member of the Rockefeller family, not Rockefeller himself, but a member of the Rockefeller family that did the same thing with his inheritance. He gave it all away. He still had some at the time he died, and his wife continued the philanthropy because he felt that the legacy that he was given, it was meant to serve. What a powerful, powerful story. Donna Sebo here. I know we are just about out of time. There are so many things that I wanted to share with you. I will not be with you live tomorrow, but you are going to be hearing a repeat of an interview that I did last week. What drug companies won't tell you and doctors can't. And I think you'll find the interview very informative and very enlightening. If you missed it last week, don't miss it tomorrow. It'll be well worth your listening to. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take time to be grateful today. You have a gift of life. There is so much, no matter what challenges you might be facing. There is so much that you have to be grateful for, especially for the opportunity of experiencing those challenges and making them work for you. working out in a way that maybe you'd never dreamed. You're on your road of life. Enjoy the journey. I'll be back with you live on Friday. Have a magnificent Thanksgiving. God bless you one and all, and I'll be talking to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.